Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Straight Talk Radio with your host Ted and Blair. Hope you all had a great week, and hope you are getting ready for the start of another, I should say, great weekend, and that you all are getting ready to get started for another glorious week. Hope all is well. Our topic tonight is going to be very interesting. We're going to be talking about things revolving around sex. It's about who needs sex more, men or women. Always a very controversial topic that we have with the show. I have my co-host here, Mr. Ted Santos. Ted, are you there? Say hello to the people.
I am, and good evening, friends and family. Thank you for joining us again for a very lively and engaging topic. Look forward to many of the callers coming in and giving their perspective. You know, sex is something that, well, we're all here either listening, talking, walking because someone or some two people had sex. And it seems to be a really controversial topic. Well, hey, Blair. You hope it was two people, unless your parents were in an orgy, then, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, somebody has another sex somewhere.
I feel you.
We're all here because someone had sex, right? Look, we're so ashamed, and there's so much fear revolving around sex, and it's probably the most important part of human existence. Otherwise, human beings would have gone extinct a long time ago unless they figured out some other way to bring the sperm and egg together. So, you know, why is there so much fear around it, so much shame? You know, men have to, pretend they have this image of being feral and, sexual beast, and women not as much as before, but, you know, a lot of times women have to pretend that they don't really want sex, and then they withhold it. So, and then there's so many games that are played around sex. So, you know, I want to, no pun intended, I want to dive into this, and take it apart.
All good stuff, absolutely. And again, thank you all for calling. You know, we're going to have a number of people that have been calling in today. If you want to call in and comment live, our number is 323-642-1387. Again, I'll repeat the number. It's 323-642-1387. We've already got a few callers I see on the line, so I'm going to get right to you. So I promise you I'm going to get right to you this evening. I want to read an article that was actually it was an op-ed piece that was constructed back in 2017. If you all would just give me a few moments and just humor me and allow me to, you know, kind of read a little bit. It's just going to take about a minute or so. I said, when you look at the top reasons for marriages falling apart, two of the most common are lack of communication and differences in libido. There's also a common misconception that men want sex more than women. This is completely untrue, and we're going to explain the science behind why in this article, as it goes to say. With respect to lack of communication, it's not that there isn't enough communication. It's that men and women don't understand how each of their brains work. And so, and I'm going to read a little bit more in the article as time permits and everything, but the kind of the crux of the article was talking about things, you know, kind of how men and women's brains work. Men, it kind of we kind of have this, I guess, notion that, you know, a man is always ready. A man is just, you know, you wake up in the morning like, hey, I'm ready, I want to do something. And whether or not that's true, I think there's some truth and, you know, some kind of, you know, I think there's part, you know, kind of fiction to that as well. And then on the other side, we believe that women have a belief, women, on the other side, we have this belief that women are of the mindset that they must be enticed and titillated into having sex. You know, if you say to a woman, can you just have sex for no reason, just, you know, right there on the spot, no reason, you know, women are like, no, I got to be kind of coaxed into it. And then certain, you know, now what you're seeing is you see kind of a new pattern of women who are like, hell yeah, if you, with the come on, let's do it. So that's where we come with the whole topic, you know, who basically is, you know, needs more men or women. So,
Blair, you know, I want to say something about socially, and I'll just speak in terms of the U.S. I'll speak a little later if the time permits about some of the attitudes, sexual attitudes around the globe. But if we mm-hmm. if we go back to the 1920s, that's when they scientists claimed that they discovered that the clitoris was they discovered it, and they say like Columbus discovered America, right? So they yeah. discovered that the clitoris could bring so much pleasure for women. So the 1920s was a sexual revolution in the U.S. for women. And when they talk about those women who were flappers, those women are what you would call loose. They were ready mm-hmm. to explore their sexuality, and people probably don't know about it. We fast forward to the 1960s, they were protesting against the war. So there was one slogan was "Make love, not war," and people were openly having sex as a way to rebel in public. They were publicly having sex on a blanket, under a blanket, you know, in a park or during a protest. And then you take that whole idea of make love, not war, free love, you know, we want love, not war. That rolled right into the 70s. And in the 70s ushered in a whole new world of this whole nightclub scene, which had very strong sexual undertones. And back then, guys would walk up to a woman and say, "Hey, baby, how you doing? What's your zodiac sign?" And she'd say, "Scorpio." And he'd say, "Well, would you like to go home with me?" And the woman right. would look him up and down and say yes or no, and they'd go home and have sex. Now, I don't know if people say women have become fast. People have a short-term memory. Back in the 70s, sex was like, you know, you'd go to the club, and there were guys who would go out and have sex with a woman, come back to the same club, pick up another woman and take, you know, have two and sometimes three, I guess, if the guy was really, you know, being a badass. But sex was rampant. AIDS started to slow that down, and you know, but it started to slow down a bit in the 80s, by the mid 80s, but by
let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. So you're saying that the sexual energies that we talk about in the 80s, it slowed down? Because if I remember in the 80s, one of the things that they talked about very, very much was how the music was changing and, oh, you know, these rap videos with these half-naked women and, you know, Prince was out and, you know, Madonna was out and Rick James was out and all the music was basically thrusting people into having sex more and more. And you're saying in the 80s it started slowing down, actually.
Hey, man, look, there was no conversation. It was like, hey, do you want to go home with me? You want to wake up with me in the morning and have breakfast? It was no, like, I want to get to know you. It was unbelievably fast. Maybe people have forgotten about that. But it was, I mean, you had songs like Love to Love You Baby. You had a lot of sexual songs in the 70s, but it was part of that 60s free love, make love. Don't forget about Woodstock and all those concerts. Those people were having a lot of sex out there. It was just indiscriminate, having sex, orgies.
Okay.
Sex was out of control, late 60s, right into the 70s, and it started to slow down. Now, I understand we sexualize things more, but they didn't back then. That was just part of the culture. They didn't need any motivation. It was their way. Maybe it was their way to rebel, and they used sex, free and open sex, as a way to rebel. But sex was rampant back then.
Okay. All right. I'd like to hear.
Go ahead.
No, sorry.
I'm a youngster, so I wasn't there. I'm not speaking from experience.
I'm a youngster. He's like, I don't know nothing about it, but my mama told me. That's what's up. Okay, so let's kick it off. We have a few callers. We are going to try to get a caller online right now. Let's see. We got, okay, caller, area code 609. You are on the air. Go right ahead. 609 area code. Going once.
Hello.
Going twice.
Hello. Yes, this is Yasin.
Hey, Efren, how are you?
I'm all right. Yourself?
Doing excellent, brother. You're doing excellent. Where
well,
are you calling from, Efren?
I was listening. I'm calling from Jersey. I was listening to. I'm actually 40 years old, so back in the 1920s, I'm not really familiar. In the 1960s, not familiar with that either. But I remember from, you know, academic-wise, you know, they said there was a baby boom, you know, around in the 70s, and that's when the soldiers was coming home from war. And I think that from my personal understanding that it was a way to sexualize anger and show liberation at the same time that, you know, the black race was showing that was their way of being free, and at the same time they were sexualizing anger because of all the hostility built up within inside of themselves. So, of course, once they with their mate, that's their only time, you know, to fill up, because out in public, you know, there was segregation and they weren't welcome. So when they were with their mate, that was the only time that they really felt intimate enough to really explore that joy. That's
gotcha.
My personal opinion.
Justine, let me ask you this. The topic of the show tonight is who needs or wants sex more, men or women? What is your thoughts? I mean, do you think the whole idea of men wanting sex is something that's driven and it's been kind of perpetuated by society, or do you think it's kind of overblown? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think women, like, need sex more than men because, you know, they have the desire to reproduce. And, you know, a man never loses that ability to reproduce. So a woman must reproduce by a certain time, you know, because their biological clock. So it's more in the need for them.
Well,
I think
what you're talking about is reproduction versus desire. I agree with you. I just want to make a comparison.
So
reproduction
and
desire.
Right.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was going to ask, what about in a relationship with a man or woman? Who do you think would desire sex more, the man or the woman, or is it equal?
It depends on a relationship, but 9 times out of 10, you know, the woman plays that coy role as if she's not really into the guy like that, want to have sex, but that's already on the back of her mind, because I don't know what it's like to be a woman. But I know what it's like to be a man, so I relate to, you know, you go to the club, like, you know, I'm looking for me a dom tonight to slide out with. But at the same time, she looking for that dom to leave with, too. So I think it's equal. It has to be equal because she plays the role like she's the bait and the guy's out looking for her. And she either says yes or she says no, like you said. You know, but the idea is that night we're both going to leave the club early.
But here's my thought though. So we as a rule in our society, we have kind of a belief that women would, you know, men say that they like aggressive women, and that's I believe that to be true. However, I think there's always been kind of this unspoken rule that women who are sexually aggressive to multiple men, the way that men are aggressive to multiple women, that's always been somewhat of a turn. Would you agree?
Sort of, because, you know, I've dealt with different types of women, so it really goes with the personality, the household that woman was raised in, and what she's looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, you may have one.
I'm referring to, like, if you take 100 men, like, if you take 100 women, and I know women always say, I wouldn't do this, but if you take 100 women and you say, there's this really great-looking guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he's slept with, you know, let's say 50 women or 50, I'm just, yeah, 50 or 100 women. Women will basically do what they need to do to make themselves available to that man.
As yes, rule, I agree.
Is that your TV in the background, brother?
Something like that.
Okay.
Those people in the background.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so, but on the flip side, if you have a woman and she's been with even 20 men, all of a sudden men are like, it's a whole lot of women. And there's kind of a, you know, there's kind of a belief that women shouldn't be out here being sexy like that. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, my personal thoughts is, you know, we're in a different time. We're in a whole different era. So, like it was being said, it's almost a part of the culture you know, for the African American to reproduce. You know what I mean? Because we already considered endangered in species. So when the woman goes out and she, like, I'll go to the downtown area. So, you know, they out there looking, they're trying to look good, they half dressed, they trying to have it on. I mean, so that they will attract the male. So I think the male is, you know, like an escape for a woman. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you have women who are into lesbianism, and it doesn't make a difference how many men or women this person slept with. But what make a difference is that she's still attractive to the male, if you follow what I'm saying.
I feel what you're saying. So call-in number is 323-642-1387. Again, 614-323-642-1387. The topic tonight, who needs sex more, men or women? Ted, it sounds like you had a question. Go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say that one of the things that they have found, and we spoke about this last week, this neurochemical called oxytocin, which is, I called it the love drug last week. It's responsible for making people bond. When your brain secretes oxytocin, you really want to bond with that person. And women secrete significantly more, especially when they're pregnant or breastfeeding. Men secrete less and testosterone blocks it. So in the studies they found that, now keep that in mind, oxytocin is nature telling you to bond with this person. When you have sex, when you climax, you secrete even more, and that has two people bond. Now, take, if testosterone blocks it, a man could have sex with 100 women in a short time period and not necessarily bond with any of them or very few of them. It's harder for a woman to not bond if you took one woman and she had sex with 100 men. So what the woman is going to do is suppress her natural brain function and actually in some ways create an abnormal brain function. So if a woman sleeps with a lot of men, she has to continuously suppress the way her brain, the way nature is telling her to behave and feel. And they have found when a woman gets to 6 men, she's 3 times more likely to be in an unstable relationship. And if she gets to 7, 8, 10, 20, 50, the more men she sleeps with, the less likely she's going to be in a stable relationship. And then they actually looked at that and measured it with divorce. Women who slept with 1 or 2 men, were their success in marriage was about like 90%. Women who slept with more than 6 men, for every man more than 6, the odds of them remaining married dropped significantly lower and lower. So I would say men and women are not equal. If a woman has to toy with her brain and suppress it so that she doesn't have feelings, when she finally meets the guy she wants to be, it's like a few shows ago, I talked about how I practiced hitting the tennis ball over the fence. I created a bad habit. And if you create a bad habit of suppressing yourself, when you meet someone you really like, you now have a bad habit of suppressing and you know, that it's my way or the highway. And that becomes very destabilizing in the relationship when you want to be with someone.
Yasin, I appreciate your call in, sir. Yasin from New Jersey. Hope you have a great evening, brother.
Thank you, man, for calling in.
No doubt.
Okay, we're going to try and take the next call. Next caller we have, it is a 404 area code. 404, go right ahead.
Hi, Blair. How are you? This is Dr. Jacqueline Buckley.
Jacqueline Buckley. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine.
Where are you calling from, Jacqueline?
I'm calling from Seattle, even though I have a 404 area code number.
Okay. All right. Cool. Seattle, Washington. What's there? I know Seattle. I'm trying to think. Is that the Microsoft area?
Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Starbucks.
Everything.
Everything is here.
It's costly to live there, man.
My Lord.
It is.
All right, cool. So our topic tonight is who needs sex more, men or women? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, I don't know your age, but I'm sure you've maybe dated around and been around. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my gosh. My thoughts on that are I was just listening to the last caller, and it was very interesting what he was saying about women who've had sex with more than six men really suppress their desires and their chance of marriage fail. Well, I personally feel like I always think that men need sex more. I state that because that's just the way that it appears to me. I have a strong network of women, friends, and family, and it seems like men are just more sexual creatures. Women want sex quite a bit, but it seems like men are more sexual creatures from what I've noticed.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? You're making a distinction. Can you explain what you're saying?
Yes. So what I'm saying is that it seems like women are very sexual, but it seems that men need sex more than women. Like it's something that it seems like it's something that's innate within them and that they just desire it a little bit more. Not to say that women don't, but it seems like if you were going to ask the question, who needs sex more, men or women, I would say men need sex more than women.
So let me ask you a question. Go ahead, Blair.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay.
Your name is
on there.
Jacqueline, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You're Jacqueline. Okay. So I want to ask you, and I need you to go with me on this question. All right, just for one, are you married?
I am not married.
Okay. So let's suppose you're married. You're married several years. You have a good marriage. You love your husband. Your husband loves you. And your husband one day sits down and, you know, you're all just having some time just to the two of you. And he says to you, you and I are no longer going to have sex. I love you. I want to be with you. I love sleeping with you and doing things with you. We're just not going to have sex any longer. What would you do?
I'd have to question, like, why? Why are we not having sex anymore? Why? So that really would be a discussion with why.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That,
like, that's all he's given you. That's it. No matter how you push and prod, he's just no longer going. He finds you beautiful and gorgeous. He loves having you on his arm. He loves cuddling with you. We're just not going to have sex.
No, there's got to be a why. For me, there's got to be a why. The rational side of me is like, there's a reason.
There's none. No matter how hard you push, that's all you're getting. What are you going to do?
Well, since this is my husband, I would take him to the doctor. I mean, we got to figure out why, because there's a why. There's a why. But in the way that you're trying to preface it, just like he's just not going to talk about it and not do anything about it, then that would be something that would make me really question our marriage. If we can't talk about something like this and we can't proceed with it, then that would be something that would question my marriage.
He's being fully open. He just doesn't want to have sex anymore. There's nothing wrong. He still gets an erection. He still finds you beautiful. He loves touching you. He likes being touched. He likes that affection. I'll talk to you. You can ask me any question you want, but I just don't. You're looking for, you know, something that's not there. I've just come to this conclusion that we shouldn't do that. I still want to be with you and I love you.
That leads to even more difficult conversations, because in order for me to have a successful marriage, sex is a part of that. You know, there's a lot of things that I feel like should be in a marriage, and sex is important.
Okay, now he's talked through it. You took him to a doctor, physical doctor, psychologist, all of that, and what's come out of that is the two of you are not having sex, but he loves being with you. Now what?
That's a question I'm going to have to ask myself, is how long can I stay in this marriage without sex?
Let me ask the both of you a question. Ted, I want to ask you this. Now, when you say you guys are not having sex, I'm assuming you're talking about penetration type sex. Does that mean he's not doing anything? He's not. You can't use no toy, no hand, no tongue, no nothing. He's not having sex at all.
We're not having sex at all.
At all. Okay. All right. So no sex at all. So my other question, and maybe this might kind of help you out and everything a little bit, what if it was a situation where it was more medical? Perhaps he has prostate issues and he cannot.
Blair, you're gonna give her an easy way out. I want to deal with this tough question first.
Let's deal with the tough one.
Then we can go down
my,
that.
My
you,
bad.
You're helping her out. No training wheels on.
Okay.
This. I'm going to deal with this tough question.
I'm at your barbecue and it tastes good, Dad. Whatever.
So, Jacqueline, I need
to
know what you're going to do.
Go ahead and answer this question then, Jacqueline.
I'm going to answer. And the thing is, I think he's trying to draw me to a conclusion, but my honest answer is that there is a why. I'm a scientist by nature, and there is a why. Even though you're saying that there's not a why, there is a why. And there's definitely a why. There's a reason that he feels like he no longer wants to have sex. Regardless of
this. Okay, so you want a why?
I'm
going to give you a why. You have a why? Okay.
Because there is a why.
Listen. In the Bible, sex is for procreation. We have children. We're not making any more children. We're not having sex.
Okay. So if he, he didn't want to procreate any further. Like I said, this is be something that we have to discuss in our marriage, but I would still want to have sex. I understand that you're saying who wants sex more, men or women, and I definitely said men. And so I see you're trying to draw me to, you know, an outcome here based on, I feel like, what you want me to say. But
no,
the issue is
I
that
I want to know what you
but
I
also agree that for a healthy marriage, there's things that come in marriages. And I do believe that sex is one of them. If he doesn't want to procreate, I definitely, you know, that would be something that we'd have to talk about, because now he's changing the parameters of our marriage. This is something that I'm sure we would have talked about early on, even in the dating stage, is, you know, our sexual attraction, our sexual chemistry, and how, you know, we would like things to flow in our marriage. And, of course, as things go on, things change. But if he's saying he doesn't want to do it because we no longer procreate, I'm still within my childbearing years.
I said you have children. You have two children, and we're not going to have any more, so there's no need to have sex because we're not going to make any more children. So we have children.
Yeah.
That's your
like
why.
Like I said.
I gave you your why.
Okay. Thank you for my why. But that would also, like I said, it's difficult. It's a difficult situation because also I know that children, I mean, sex is for reproduction and, you know, to procreate. But also, too, I have needs that I would like met, and I need that to come from my husband.
So now that's your situation. What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
In your scientific mindset, I want to hear this.
So in my scientific mindset, I would have to talk to him, and I would recommend that we get counseling because I see his side, but I also want him to see my side. And if that is, and we need maybe an unbiased third party to help us become, you know, to be copacetic and come to a conclusion.
Okay, and you go to counseling, and he still says, we have children. The Bible says sex is for procreation. We're no longer making children. Not a therapist, no one, no counselor is going to help me change my mind. This is written in stone. My relationship with God is so important. So we're not having sex. That's it.
Okay. So I would just ask him if he's okay with a sex surrogate, someone who stands in his place.
So you would stay with him, and you would ask if he would be okay with you having sex with another man. You would stay with him.
You said the rest of our marriage is fine.
But yeah,
right?
The rest of the marriage is fine. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So the only thing that we could not draw a conclusion on is the sexual aspect of it.
And if he says, yes, you can have a surrogate, you would have sex with another, you would go out and choose another man, correct?
I'll probably look into it.
And if
I mean,
he says no,
I'll
bet on triple back and get everything.
And if he says
I'm completely against that, you're my wife, I'm against that, what would you do?
I mean, there's toys, there's other things, but I think in order for us to have a healthy, viable marriage, I would like to have sex with him. I would like that.
Not
going to
happen. Not happening. No matter
like
what.
Said, I would have,
no,
yeah,
how many
we'd
times,
have to explore other options. We'd have
no,
to explore
not
other
happening.
Options.
So,
other
so,
options. There's so many other options. I mean, there are toys. There are, you know, things that can stimulate me that he could watch. You know, I mean, there's other options.
Like another
just
man.
What'd you say?
Would you cheat?
I said, like
cheat?
Another man.
Right. Would you cheat?
No,
would you go out with
like
another
I
man?
Would, if we talk about it, that's not cheating. Anything done with your knowledge, you know, if he agrees to that, that's not cheating.
No, he's against it. Completely against another man. Against it. Adamantly against it.
Well, then I'm not sure that our marriage can survive. I'm not
so
sure
what
if
are
our
you telling me
survive?
You would do? Help me out, Jacqueline. What does that mean? What would you do?
Like I said, it would be contingent upon so many things. But if our marriage is otherwise intact, you know, I would see how I can function in other areas. But if it's just something that's a non-negotiable for me, then maybe it's time for us to end this marriage.
Yep.
Yeah, it might be
hey,
time
hey,
to end this marriage and move forward.
Jacqueline, I'm gonna give you a little bit of oxygen. We got a couple other callers we want to get to, so if you can stay on the line for just a moment, I want to try to bring someone else in.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for staying in that conversation with me. I know it was a tough question.
We have area code 662. You are live and on the air.
Hey Blair. Can you
hear
me? Hey Blair.
Yes,
I
can.
This is
Who's
this? Stephanie.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to make a comment on the conversation that was going on that with the not going to have sex. I'm out of the marriage. I'm out. I believe her, too. I believe this is why.
Okay.
And I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out of
Steph,
the marriage.
Steph, real quick, I want you to go with your comment, but where are you calling from, please?
Oh, I'm calling from Oxford. I'm calling from New Albany, Mississippi. That's about 5 hours away from you guys, 5 or 6.
Okay. Go ahead with your comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That comment is just if he's saying we're not going to have sex, I just kind of got in the tail end of the whole conversation, but if he says we're not going to have sex, we're not going to do anything, that's it, it's done. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should ask his religion. Is he now, I don't know what religion that would be. And if he's so adamant about it, then you know what? Let's just get a divorce. And that's the law.
Okay.
So
it's
a question of
who
wants sex more, when men or women. You know what? 2018, that's very hard. I think are we talking about who wants sex as in the feeling? Are we talking about emotionally? Who I mean more than just who wants sex more, men or women?
Okay. All right. So let me make sure I'm understanding it correctly. So going back to your previous comment, you're saying sex is not happening. You're out of there. You're like, I ain't even going to try to, you know, I'm not even going to entertain
it. From what I was hearing, he was saying there's no why. It is what it is. We're not going to make more babies. So God said that we're here to make babies. So I'm out. I mean, well, we're not having sex anymore. And that's the big part. And if we've had sex, and he's all of a sudden not wanting to have sex, and we hadn't discussed him going into some different religion. Yeah, I'm probably over this.
Even though, and I'm gonna kick it over to you, Ted. I just want to throw this. Even though it's a situation where you could potentially pleasure yourself, where you could say, you know what, I'll use my own toys. I got a really good marriage. Other than that,
Blair,
that's not an option.
Let me just tell you this. I am not doing the toy thing. Not when there's a big arrested man next to me. He got the toy, baby. Let's get it on and pop it. I ain't using no toys. I ain't flicking myself. I'm not letting him watch. I'm not doing no porn. I want to be. Sorry, I got my
I don't
want
to put words in your mouth. So I just want to make sure I got it clear.
Blair, you know
I got it clear.
You put words in my mouth, and I probably will I'm a pretty big girl about that. So you can go ahead. I don't think I sugarcoat things. I don't think I have since we've known each other. No, I'm not toying. I'm not dealing with toys. I'm not praying. I'm not. No, I want some penetration.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your earnest in that. Your deliberate message in that. You know, I was trying to get some. You know, we were trying to kind of get something from Jacqueline, but she kind of danced around the question as opposed to straightforward.
Oh,
but you know,
Jacqueline,
you know, it's
all
right.
Really
it's all good, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline sounds really sweet, and she's a doctor, and she's she sounds really sweet. Well, I'm from the South. I'm a little gangster. I mean, I deal with, you know, you got to understand some of the people I deal with every day as a therapist. So I just try to cut. I hear that whole religion thing. And Jacqueline kind of paused a minute. She was like, okay, I ain't going to play with God.
Yeah.
I'm not playing with God. I just know that if he decides he don't want to penetrate me, maybe he needs to go into prayer and go.
Yeah, I understand. Jacqueline gave kind of the Will Smith answer. You came Ice Cube, guns blazing. I get you. I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. What do you think about that answer, Ted?
I think I can't tell you how many women I've asked this question to over so many years, and only one woman has ever said she would stay. And the reason she said she would stay is because she didn't really like sex that much anyway. And that's the way she thought the relationship would go. Every single woman, a lot of women did with Jacqueline, said they tried to squirm out and find some other way to not answer it. And a couple of women said, and so here's what I concluded. You ladies are answering the question. It's actually women who need sex more than men. And this has been one of the biggest okey-dokes, bamboozles in human history, that men have been tricked into believing that it's us who are using you for sex when, in fact, you're using us, because as soon as we don't put out, you ladies leave. One lady said she would stay. All the rest said they would leave. And when I said to some women, I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but I know men who have stayed
really
under those
situations.
Let me finish. Is that Stephanie?
Uh-huh.
Stephanie, one second. I know men who have actually stayed with their wives who use the religion or something else, but they stayed because if a man leaves, he looks like a dog. But a woman can leave.
I disagree. I don't think. No, I disagree. I mean, the whole thing and the whole propaganda of we use you for sex, then you guys would go and buy flat tummies and get injections in your abs and your back and your calves and maybe your Achilles. But I see women doing that so that we can keep the dude happy. And I totally disagree with everything.
That's Stephanie, right?
Yes.
Was that Stephanie? Okay, Stephanie.
Yes.
I've been going to gyms to work out, and I've lived in several countries, and every single gym I go to anywhere in the world, there are always significantly more men in that gym than women. So men don't look for the shortcut. We go to the gym and work our butts off to get all that stuff. We want big pecs. You women want arms. You want all this stuff. And we go work for it. We work our
butts
off.
And we want some D, too. And we want the D, too. So, yeah, we don't want guys with little arms.
Exactly. So we go work. So if we go get I have met one guy who had implants in his arms. He looked like he had strong arms, and he said, "No, I paid for it. I had implants." Well, it might look good, except it won't perform. I don't know if you know what a kit car is. I lived in D.C. and there was this guy. He had Volkswagen. He had a Volkswagen Beetle frame and engine and everything, and he took the body of a Lamborghini and just put it on it. And the women loved it because they thought he was driving a Lamborghini, except really he was driving a Volkswagen Beetle with a fiberglass frame on it, and it could never perform like a Ferrari. So a guy who gets, and I'm saying that's analogous to a guy who gets implants, it, for you ladies who want, as you said, the D, he might have nice-looking arms and implants in his chest, but he probably won't perform like the guy who actually works out. So I get what you're saying. You want a Ferrari or a real Lamborghini, not something that's just fake. And us guys, we like when you go to the gym, too.
Well, the whole situation with the guy who just all of a sudden came home and had an epiphany or was hit by lightning on the way from Sunday service and decided he wasn't going to have sex anymore, that's like a Chevette. I mean... But to answer your question of who wants sex more, I agree with the females that say men. Because if you're just saying who wants sex, that means the penetration, that means the ejaculation, that means the feeling. It ain't us, because y'all ain't doing what you're supposed to be all the time, so it ain't us, dude.
Ladies, hold the line for just a minute. I'm going to try to get another caller in. If you can hold on for just a moment, please. The phone number is 323-642-1387. So we're going to try to bring another caller in. Okay, caller, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead. 732 area code.
Hey, here I am. Hello,
hey,
there, everybody.
Van. What's
what do
going
you
on,
say?
Van?
I'm loving this conversation today.
So what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Boy, I'll tell you, I was actually getting amused. You know, it's a little entertainment here going on.
Who do you think needs sex more, men or women?
Me.
You, a man. So...
All right. Thank you so much for your comments, sir. Have a great evening. All right. So, Ted, you can take that loan. Okay. Are you there, Ted?
So, yeah, I'm here. So, I think,
right,
Stephanie, you were saying men and women need it equally. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know what? No. I'm saying that, you just said who needs sex more, men or women? And I'm asking, are you concerned? Are you talking about penetration? Are you talking about emotional? Are you talking about that skin to skin? What are you, when you say sex? Are you saying the penetration? Are you saying women need that? Who needs more that emotional? That you know, I need a little more information.
Well, no.
If you're talking about just penetration and feeling good, I think it would be men need that more. You're talking about the sexual getting into it, women and all the way we think emotionally and fantasy and a little bit of that.
Right.
I would say yes. You were putting all those together. Yeah, we equally need it. We're creatures. We are beasts at heart. So both of us want to try and get that final sensation. So it is what it is. I mean, I don't walk around thinking about sex all day, but if I could get a little piece at the end of the day and, you know, with my glass of wine, it'd be pretty awesome.
She said a little piece. Hilarious.
So
okay.
Let me
go ahead.
So, Stephanie, let me ask you. So then why do you think we set up our society where it's almost like a football game, right? A woman's on defense to stop a man from having sex, and even if they've been in a relationship and they've been sexual, and a man is always like pursuing it to have it, like we don't just come together. Why is it such an issue?
Oh, see,
between
I don't know
men
where
and
you
women.
Guys are dating or where you're getting your women, but down here in Mississippi, we come together. We come together a lot. We get it together on that part. Like there's no chasing and. Oh, my God. But then again, in the city, you guys are a little different. You guys dress, you know, you guys wear $3,000 suits to go you know, to get drinks afterwards. We don't down here in Mississippi. We just get off at 5 and be like, hey, you want to meet me at the house? Have a glass of wine and throw some, you know, hot dogs on the grill and let's get it on. That's kind of how we are. So, and that's love.
And so if you meet a guy for the first time, right, you've never met him, and you find him sexually attractive, he carries himself well, he has great intellectual conversation, a good career, and are you concerned that the only thing he wants from you is sex?
No.
Okay. So will you? So let's. So I want to make this really personal. So I have no idea what you look like. You probably have a better idea as to what I look like.
I cannot believe Blair hadn't pulled a picture up and let you see it. Come on, are you guys in the same room?
No, I'm in New Jersey. He's in Columbus, Ohio. So
You should have an iPad there so you can pull up the people, though, so those that just get brought on, you can say, oh, you ain't even that cute. And those are, like, really hot. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to put this one to the side. Hey, but Blair, let's get him an iPad going. Let's get him a Mac iPad. We're going to make that happen.
I'm sitting in front of my computer.
Believe me, Stephanie, I've seen him. He's better suited for radio. You don't want to see the video of him.
Okay.
So let's suppose you and I are out on a first date, and I say to you, hey, look, I'm sexually attracted to you. I would like to make love with you, except I'd like to spend some more time getting to know you, and I don't think you're really ready for what I lay down with you, so why don't we and I want to know if you feel the same way. So I'm sexually attracted. I want to make love to you.
You know what I'm going to say? If I'm cute, had a good shower, hair's on fleek, looked kind of feeling myself, didn't have that extra macaroni for dinner, I'm going to think that you're full of shit, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to get his Negro home tonight. Let's just get it over with. And then see what we're popping. Once we stand up, let's see what we're popping. But tonight we're going to pop it off see what you're talking about. And if you want to call me, lady, you can. If you don't, then, you know, this is life.
Okay, so you're going to raise the bar. Okay. You're going to raise the bar on me and say, no,
hey,
I'm ready now.
Right. Hey, Jacqueline, are you still there?
I am still here listening.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you were still there. So, what? I mean, you've been kind of mute for a second and everything. What are your thoughts so far on what Stephanie has said?
I think Stephanie is so interesting. I like what Stephanie's saying, but I'm kind of like, I have a bone to pick with you, though.
Stephanie, let her speak.
Yeah, because I feel like, because you were like, well, I danced around it. No, I told you exactly what I would do in my marriage. And you were like, you danced around it, and I want women to come to this conclusion. I told you what it was going to come to for me marriage. We're going to figure out why.
I'm being silly because she came out, you know, and just said, this is what I would leave. And that's all I'm saying is that she came very direct and was like, I wouldn't even put up with it. I wouldn't question it. Whereas, you know, with yours, you were like, we have to kind of talk about. So that's all I was saying. That's, you know, I'm just making a joke about it. So, yeah. So, but, yeah. I mean, it's just really two different approaches to, you know, kind of the same question and everything. And, you know, Stephanie's like, I wouldn't even entertain the idea of, you know, of doing that. So, yeah.
Hey, Stephanie?
Yes?
Stephanie? You need to send me a picture of you.
Not gonna happen. Was that like a live DM? Like a live request? I mean,
over the radio, man.
You and Blair are friends. If you don't go and stalk my page, then that's just on you. But still, I don't care if you think I'm cute. I don't care if you think I'm a fatty, a skinny, a dog, or whatever. It still says the same. I mean, I am 40. I'm a whole 44 years old. And I ain't got no punk in me. So if we're going out on a date and we've gotten that far to a date and you just didn't pull me off the subway somewhere, and we're talking and we're conversing and you say something like, I'm sexually attracted to you and I want to get to know you more. First of all, that sexually attractive thing shouldn't have came out of your mouth if you want to get to know me more. Because, I mean, we know if we're vibing and if we want to smush our bodies next to each other. So my thing is, my dad's an old school pimp from the South, so he's just going to say, make it do what it do, you know? Let's bring it to the forefront. Let's get over with it.
Hey, no, that, Stephanie, here, Blair's gonna point out exactly.
Say, what's your question, Blair? Why should he not say that he is sexually attracted to you?
Duh.
I'm asking a question.
To me, I'm not gonna. I guess I'm a little different. I'm not. I want the total package. So I want you to be whomever it is. I want you to be sexually attracted, mentally attracted, physically, all of that. So to just say
okay.
I'm sexually – so I'm saying this. So if you weren't sexually attracted to me, would you say that too?
If I wasn't sexually attracted to you,
I just might say that. Yes, I might say that.
And that would save us a lot of time too. So I guess at 44 I got enough male friends, you know, so – And I think, Blair, you posted this in the Safe House once. You said all men are going to try it, all black men, all white men, all
Absolutely.
Men are going to try it with a friend.
Yeah.
So I got enough colleagues that we diverse and we go out. So I don't need another person just to go out because I'm smart or I'm this or I'm that. So if we're on a date and we're getting to know each other and we've made a conscious decision to go on that date, whether it's the first night or the fifth night, yes, we women have decided we're going to give you some. You guys are the one that screwed that up. So you don't have to say I'm sexually attracted to you, physically attracted to you, but I want to get to know you more. No, what you do is just don't act on that urge. Don't act on it, and don't push up on me and try to, you know, get some, and then we'll just go on to the second date.
Yeah, I have to pretend that I'm not.
No, you don't have to pretend. There's no pretense in pretending. No, just you don't have to just say it. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if we vibe it and we've got a great chemistry, I don't think you have to say anything.
Wouldn't that be like a really open and mature way to say, hey, look, I'm sexually attracted. I'm not going to push up on you tonight. I will, but I'd like to spend some time getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of saying it. That's a really nice way of saying it.
Jacqueline, are you still there?
I am still here.
Okay. Would you have a problem with a guy that you met coming up to you and, you know, you're talking and like, hey, my name's Mike, et cetera, and everything. And would you have a problem with him, like, let's say 3-4 minutes of him saying, I actually am very sexually attracted to you? Would you have an issue with that?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. It wouldn't sit well with me. Like, people say that kind of stuff all the time, and it's really a turnoff. Like, I don't like it. Like, men do that, I don't like it.
Right. So here's the rub, though. We have, you know, anybody that you ask that knows anything about, you know, male psychology and kind of how men are wired, if you say, what is the first thing that men notice? Their aesthetics first. They notice how you look. They know they're
mm-hmm.
attracted to you physically, sexually. But then we have the notion as a society to say, well, don't say anything about that. Don't tell, you know, don't
right.
say anything
exactly.
about, you know, on the first date. Don't mention that until like date 5. You say anything on the first date, it's mm-hmm. a problem. You say anything on the third date, it's a problem. It's like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't really seem fair. That men are penalized for something that actually comes natural to them.
Right.
I definitely understand it. I definitely understand where you're coming from. But for me, I have a certain type. I have a certain body type. I have a certain shape. And, you know, I hear, I mean, people will inbox. People will, like, stop me in the street. And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, you look like this. And, you know, and that speaks, I don't know, it just speaks. It just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't move me. It doesn't move me.
Right. But then, and neither of you ladies can answer this, but then we have the belief that we should tell men, be yourself, be who you are. Well, that is
right,
how men are. Men are primal. And so, but
right.
then when you speak on that, when you say to you, hey, man, you, my God, when he says something about that, when he mentions or makes a comment about your blouse where you already got your blouse already low cut, or when you say something about how great your legs are, I can't tell you how many women have said, it's like, well, wait a minute, you advertise it all. So how is it that women have the right to advertise and put it out there, yet a man saying something about it is a problem? If I drive a car, if I drive a bright yellow Lamborghini right down the street, somebody's going to say, wow, that's a nice Lamborghini. You know, you're putting it out there, but then making men the bad guy because he comments on how sexually attracted he is to you.
Right, but not a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I really want that Lamborghini. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's a way, and there's a way that you can be subtle, and there's a way of having decorum. You know, if you think that a woman looks nice, of course, you know, women want, they go out, they want to look nice. And there's nothing wrong with a compliment. So if you think that, you know, her boobs are looking good and they're sitting up nice in that dress, you can say, oh, I really like that dress on you, rather than, oh, look at them titties. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is, that's horrible. It's all about decorum and tact. And so we know that men are primal creatures. We understand that. And I want you to be yourself, but don't be your sleazy self.
Okay.
What if I am sleazy? And I'm sophisticated and classy, and I wear a $7,000 suit. And I drive a Lamborghini. And
mm-hmm.
I work on Wall Street. I'll tell you what I do for real life is I consult CEOs of middle market companies. So, you know, I get paid to think. I get paid to give people advice in complex situations. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm sleazy also.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, you're in sales and I'm in sales. So we're kind of sleazy in sales. You have to be to make the, I mean, not in a bad way, like not sleazy sleeping with people, but you gotta get to the top. That's kind of how we are in sales. So, you know, is what it is.
No, I'm not in sales. I am a trusted advisor. I understand there are times when I have to close a deal, I have to sell, but I get paid for advising CEOs of significant companies. That's I'm not a salesman. I am an advisor.
Right.
Let me tell a woman,
you know what, if you tell a woman that instead of I'm so sexually attracted to you, I bet you'll get it faster than telling her you're so sexually attracted to her.
Wait, Blair, can she let her repeat that? If you tell a woman what?
Yeah, go ahead.
If just what you said is I'm this great advisor and I'm blah, 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 blah. See, you're selling yourself right there to me instead of just saying, hey, I'm sexually attracted to you, so let's get it on.
No, I didn't say let's get it on. I said I'm not going to pursue
you sexually.
You said
let's get it on in 4 days.
No, I never said that. I think you misheard me. I said I'm not going to pursue you. I'd rather spend time. I want to right now. I don't think you're ready for that. I want to spend time getting to know you. But
why
I'm
am I not ready
I'm
for
coming
it?
From.
Why is the female not ready for it?
Well, would you refute that and say, no, I am ready for it?
No, I just asked why is the female not ready for it?
Because you all need more, like you were saying, this emotional, this.
How do you know that if I never tell you that?
I'm acknowledging you as a woman. And if you prove to me that you are some exception to the rule, then I will deal with you accordingly. I promise
prove
you.
Prove to me.
You said prove it to you?
No, I'm saying you said prove to me. Prove to me. If I prove to you,
I'm something
of the ordinary. I think every woman is ordinary in her own way. There is something unique about every woman, every male, everything on this earth. So there's something unique. I think the problem comes with when we're all thrown into a pile based off of five good-looking women did this or seven, you know, skanky, sleazy women did this or, you know, this over here, someone throw you in the pile of flipper. So I see, and the same goes with men. I just think that people are piled into a certain type of genre. And when you do that, you just all of a sudden say, well, prove to me, or you're not ready for that sexually. Well, how do you know?
Okay,
Stephanie,
well,
I agree with you.
Too.
I agree with you 100%.
So listen, I say it this way. Sex is important to me. And if it's not going to be good, I don't want to even waste my time. I'd rather do nothing. And part of the way sex becomes good is actually spending time with the person and really getting to understand them so that we're on the same vibe. So I'd like to spend some time doing that.
Or you have a great chemistry, no drama. You set your boundaries up front and, hey, the D is delicious and the P is divine. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it can go both ways.
I get that, right. And you do want someone that has some skill. What sex itself is, even if you know the it's like playing an instrument. You can hit all the keys on a keyboard and hit them accurately, but there's a person who is sort of being the music that's hitting the same keys, and somehow it sounds different than the person who just is technically accurate. From someone who knows how to sort of put their heart and soul into it.
Definitely.
And that's what I would be looking for. So if you're going to just show me the technical movement, you may not be a good use of my time.
Oh, Blair, you took the words out of my mouth.
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
I said Blair took the word out of my mouth. Hmm. That's what I was feeling.
Oh. I feel you. So let me ask you ladies a question. This is a perfect time to ask. Do you, and I'm going somewhere with this, do you think that, and I want an honest answer, do you think that most men cheat? Let's go Stephanie first.
Most, yes.
You do? You believe most men cheat?
Yes.
Okay. Jacqueline, do you believe that most men cheat?
They try to play on our words, Jacqueline. You're very smart.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I'm trying to stop
you. I'm asking a simple question that has been asked time and time again. Do you believe that most men cheat? Yes or no?
No.
You do not believe most men cheat?
I don't think most.
Very good. Hey, Jacqueline, what you're a scientist. What kind of scientist are you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Jacqueline, yes.
No, I'm not a scientist. I'm a foot and ankle surgeon. Science is
okay.
A huge
okay.
part of my background. So I'm very analytical.
Right.
So, so I'm not a scientist to say, but, yeah, I love science.
You're a doctor. You're a surgeon.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Interesting. So, Stephanie, let me ask you this question. So you believe that most men cheat. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You believe most men cheat. Okay. So I apologize. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of the conversation. So do you believe that men want sex more than women or women want sex more than men?
I believe men want more sex.
Do you believe men want more sex?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Who do men mostly cheat with?
Does
anybody
have them? Anybody that will have them?
That dirty
stuff
that we
anybody
girls ain't gonna do.
Yeah, anybody
man,
that will have
them. See, Ted, I don't open up the worms, man. If you see how it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
I've asked
men that cheated on women, very beautiful women. I asked them, perfect women, in my opinion, I'm looking at them like, oh, my God, she's hot. She's awesome. And they all say, the pretty girl ain't going to do the dirty stuff. The pretty girl ain't going to let the threesomes come in. The pretty girl that's over here working on her career, she ain't going to let the nasties come in. So I'm going to go over there and get these skanky wanks. But anybody that will give you guys the time of day, you are going to take it one way or the other. and I'm sorry. I don't care if it's a phone call.
Okay.
I don't care if it's a 30-second conversation, and in your shana, you felt like, that's cheating.
Okay.
You got to define cheating
okay.
for me. It's big. It's broad.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that the do you think that men can actually be disciplined? I mean, you say that most men cheat. Okay, so we understand that. So I don't know whether most is 60, 99% or whatever, but you believe most men cheat. So that being the case, do you believe that men can be disciplined enough to be in a relationship, be happy, only be with one woman? I'm assuming that the answer is probably going to be no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so why do they not do that?
I'm not saying they don't do it. You said most. I mean, there are some that
okay, yeah, yeah. I'm
actually...
saying you said most men. Okay, go ahead.
Most men
you said
cheat.
Most men
yes.
cheat. And I'm saying most that why do you think, I mean, you stand before God, you know, I do, I won't forsake you, no other woman ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then whether it's the next day or whether it's 20 years down the road, you got a cheating man. This is what you're saying.
Right.
Why do they do that?
Why does a dog pee on a tire? Because he can.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Okay, cool. All right. Like I said, I just wanted to kind of get your thought because I talk to a lot of people and I try to help them understand, you know, if you think that most men are going to be cheaters, liars, unfaithful, whatever, why is there such a push always to make men monogamous? Why not when you get married, just say to yourself, you know what, I know that it's probably going to be, chances are he's probably not going to be with only just me. So let us rewrite our vows and say you're going to do the best that you can as opposed to forsaking all others.
No.
Why do women make it,
if
most women understand, let me say this, if most women understand as you are, because most women believe men cheat, if they believe that, why not basically put it in a way that says, you know what, he's going to do the best he can, as opposed to, okay, now I'm going to make it a firm law, and then the moment he cheats, you son of a, you know, whatever. Why is that?
Oh, why not have
that? That's what you're made up for failure.
Right. Why not have this firm conversation?
Wait a minute. One lady at a time, please.
I agree with Jackie about, you know, the setting me up for failure. I don't want to do that. But why not have an upfront conversation in the beginning and say, I like these things. If you are particular about certain things you like on your woman or your man, or you like them to do sexually, or you like, or their, whatever their love language is, how about writing that prenup out of here, how about saying, listen, these are the things I got to have to make me happy sexually, physically,
emotionally. Can I go ahead and answer your question for you? I'll go ahead and answer your question for you and say, because if you look back over the centuries, men don't get anywhere with telling the truth. They get where they need to get to by telling lies. You already just said from the very beginning, I don't even want a guy coming in the door even complimenting me on my breasts or nothing of that nature, even though that's what is in his mind. So if you think about it from the moment you meet a woman, she says, no, don't look at the breasts, don't say nothing about that. And now you're married, and you already said that, you know, you think most men are unfaithful, but we're always putting this kind of this bar there where we want men to be a certain something that most of them aren't.
But see, that's interesting that you say that, because I was just talking with my friend, and I don't even want in my wedding vows till death do us part. That's not realistic for me. I don't think that's realistic for me. And also, too, you know, I'm not in the threesomes, but I'm open to other things in it. People always laugh because I'm like, who knows what may happen in a marriage? It's like you gave the scenario of my husband not wanting to have sex with me. You didn't want to touch on the part where I said a sex surrogate. You were like, oh. Like, no, what if my husband doesn't want sex with me? There's somebody else that will. And that may be a part of our marriage. When I get married, I want to have these difficult conversations. You know, I've been through things where I've had just recently a very bad accident, you know, that affected my life dramatically, you know, and the person that I was with, he thought because I had this accident that I wouldn't want to have sex. So he was like, well, I don't want to have sex. And I was like, that's a problem for me. You know, we did end up going our separate ways because of a lot of other things. But, you know, it's nothing set in stone. Men may want sex more, but women want it as well. And so I can't say that I'm going to always just want his dick in my life. Like, I may want other things. I want to explore other things. And, you know, also, too, I just need to know what he wants and what's his level of expectation for me. I think a lot of people just want to get married based on love, and there's so many other parts of a marriage. Love fades.
Right. But if that's the case, if it's about love, then wouldn't that kind of trump just the sex? Wouldn't the love and respect say, you know what, the sex is, you know, is a good part, but I got love and I got respect. Let me just go ahead and write this thing on out. Maybe he'll change his mind in a year. Maybe he'll change his mind next week.
That's very interesting that you say that, because when I said my marriage is very good and it's a great relationship and it's a great marriage other than sex, and I feel like we can get around that, you were like, oh, no, you have to give a straight answer.
No, that wasn't Blair. That
wasn't
Blair who said it. That was me.
I was about to say, I didn't say nothing like that.
I'd like to say that I totally agree. I mean, but I was asked this question, what's more important, love or loyalty? And so if we're watching Scarface, I would say it would be loyalty because you're going to get shot or the car blew up. I would say, you know, in my opinion, I think love is. I don't see how you can't have love without loyalty, but that's the same kind of thing about what we're talking about now. I mean, so if you're loyal to a person, you know, that comes with, oh, God, I'm just going to stick around. I'm loyal. I'm moving down. But if you love someone, in my opinion, if you're loving them, if you're feeling them, I think that you would be open and honest with them. And, Blair, you said the whole thing about women don't like honesty. It may hurt our feelings, but it's going down in the 2019. Try it. I'm telling you. We'd rather have the honesty up front. It may cut us, it may hurt us, but that whole drawing out, you know, trying to be nice to me, that'll get you cut.
Well, see, that's exactly what I did. I said to you, if we were on a first date, and I said, I'm sexually attracted to you, you didn't like that. I'm just being honest.
No, I didn't say I didn't like that. You went on with something else saying, but I want to get to know you longer because...
I didn't say I want to get to know each other.
Sex is sex. And if it's done right, I don't give a damn if I know you 5 seconds. I don't get to know if I know you 5 hours or 5 years. Good sex is good sex. And trust me, I have had a relationship where we didn't know anything about us. But, and you know, I wanted to get to know him. He was trying to get to know me. It was a distant relationship. But when we came together, oh, it was on and popping and delicious.
No, I got you. So if a man asks that question on the first date, you're okay with that? Or
what
he says he makes
he
that
asking?
Statement. No, I said
what,
statement.
The,
he makes the statement. I'm sexually attracted to you. I'd rather
sexually attracted to me?
Yep, I'm not going to push up on you tonight, but I am going to, but not tonight unless something changes. But I am going to pursue you sexually, but I'd rather get to know you.
Well,
I'd like
first
to spend
of all,
some time
I'm,
getting to know you.
First of all, since you work for the Fortune 500 company, and if you're paying for the liquor, we'll probably press up. But if I'm paying, you might get to have those few days to get to know me because I'm not running a big tab because I can't afford it.
Oh, my. Interesting. Very interesting.
Do we want to bring
ahead,
a guy?
Go ahead.
Let's see if we have a guy listening. I'd like to see if there's a guy and what he thinks about
it. I'm nervous after the last guy. I was just going to let it ride out. We've had some people come on here. So, all right, here we go. All right, let's try. Okay. Hold on a second. Area code 904. 904, you are live. Go right ahead. 904. Going once, going twice, nothing. Okay. So, yeah. All right. We only have like 10 minutes left of the show and everything. So, ladies, I mean, you've been tremendous. I appreciate all your honest opinions and everything. So, yeah. So, Jacqueline, are you still there?
I am.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for being a part of the show. Let me ask you this. So, you mentioned that you were single, correct?
I am single. I didn't mention it. Nobody asked, but I am. I think
okay,
you inferred,
well,
but yeah, I'm single.
Yeah, since you said you weren't married. So, what's it like? You know, I know you said you're in the Seattle area. What is it like as far as the kind of the culture there as far as men? You know, when you talk about a lot of parties, when you talk about a lot of men who are kind of in more of our metropolitan areas, you know, they're kind of, you know, you have just kind of a number of different men to kind of choose from. Do you find that you have to kind of, and this is kind of a segue question, but I'm kind of going somewhere with it. Do you find that you have to look at other options as far as dating outside of, you know, dating outside of your race, or how does that work? I mean, or do you find a lot of black men who are successful, young, and are into the sisters? What are your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. Oh goodness. This is, oh gosh. Well, I grew up here, born and raised here, and I knew at the age of 15 that I would not find my husband here. I just knew. Like, growing up, I used to be, I did pageants. I was nominated for prom queen, homecoming queen. I was in all honors classes, AP classes, but the black men just were like, no. They were like, you're pretty, you're good looking, you're smart, but no, we want white women. We don't want you. We want women who have, they were like, we don't want women who are, they didn't say this about me, but they were just saying, we don't want black women. We don't want women who are loud. We don't want women who are angry. We don't want women whose hair doesn't grow past their ears, and we don't want this. It's just a lot of negative connotations that I heard from black men growing up, and I thank God for self-esteem. I thank God for self-esteem and for, you know, a mother who was just very, you know, encouraging, and family that was encouraging. I don't date here in Seattle. I actually started a forum with my friend because I just, like, what is wrong? Like, what is going on here in Seattle? I step on a plane. I fly every 2 weeks to every month. And as soon as I leave the SeaTac airport and step anywhere else in the country or in the world, men come. Men approach me via, you know, social media and things like that. Nobody in Seattle. I find that they're really non-committal here. They don't like women who are, this is what I've experienced. They don't want women who are too educated. They don't want women who, they have a whole list. But it's very hard dating here. And it's not just myself.
Okay.
My friends and I talk about this all the time. It's very hard dating here.
Okay.
So
let me say this. First of all, let me say I'm sorry that you have to go through that. I understand kind of how that after a while can kind of play on you, like what the heck is going on here. So I'm sorry to hear that. Do you find that, kind of a two-part question, do you see yourself ever dating outside of your race? And if you have done that, what has been your experience with those men?
I have dated outside of my race. So the experience is, what some people, you know, I get angry when I hear black women like, oh, I'm going to get myself a white man, he's going to treat me better. I think men are men, regardless of their race, their ethnicity. They're men. Men are going to be men. So don't think that white men are going to treat you better than black men. But I've noticed that here in Seattle, white men are a little more complimentary. They, without being disgusting, and they're a little bit more open, and they want to show you a good time. I dated a guy in New Jersey who was Asian, and he listened to every word that I said. He took me on dates based on what I had said when we first met. And so it was an interesting experience.
Okay. And you really kind of hit on what kind of the direction I was trying to go, and that men are men, because like mm-hmm. yourself, I hear a lot of women say, you know, kind of they use that as a default, you know, because I, you know me, I kind of ask questions because I want to get some, mm-hmm. I want you to kind of explore yourself and kind of get to know some of your flaws, your good points as well, but, you know, point out some of the things that you may need to focus on. And so one of the kind of the go-to that I hear a lot of black women say is, well, I'll just go and get me a white guy. And I'm saying, well, white men, you know, they're men. They are men. Men mm-hmm. are more alike than they are different, just like women are more alike right. than they are different. Men and women mm-hmm. both have a very insular nature about themselves. And to think that, well, if I cross the tracks and I go, you know, with the Asian guy or the white guy or the – no, men are men no matter where you go. There, you know, mm-hmm. there may be some differences. Yeah, the men in Miami might be a little bit different than guys who were up in Michigan. I'm not going to dispute that. But men are men. Men are, you know, men are who they are. And so I just wanted mm-hmm. to kind of get that from you because – I hear a lot of women say, well, black men, you know, they're just all about sex and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, there's a lot of white guys that are out there about that, a whole lot of white men. So I don't know where this whole idea was birthed of this is just something that black men do, that they're all about sex and trying to get with as many women as possible. There's a whole, from college to when they get into these corporate, you know, these corporate companies or whatever, there's a culture of men, white men, black men, whomever, who are very, I hate to use this word, very predatory. And they are all about what is my next conquest? All right, you know, me and Jackie did our thing, and me and Kim, and me and, you know, Sonya, mm-hmm. all right, I need a whole new roster now. That's old news. I need a whole new thing. That's a culture within men. It has nothing to do mm-hmm. with the color of who they are. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Definitely. That's definitely the truth.
Yeah. You there, Sam?
Well, I first want to say, Jackie, you can just shake the haters off because I think you're just pretty doggone awesome. So maybe they're just haters. But for me, I stayed a summer and a half and then I went over into the fall in Portland, Oregon. And I can agree with Jacqueline. It was as if I had a booger on my forehead because I was African-American. Mm-hmm. They were just – the African-American men was loved and the Caucasian women, like, it was just – I never saw – if I only saw maybe 10 black people the whole time I was there. But the ones that were with another nationality, not African-American. Mm-hmm. I mean, the men were very complimentary. The white men were very complimentary, the other nationalities. But as for black men, no, they were not having it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because in high school, I dated men, whether they were boys, that were white. And I remember these black guys saying to me, oh, sis, you're selling out. You're such a sellout. And I want to be like, Mom, you've never dated a black woman. To this day, we're in our 30s. They have not dated a black woman. Like, one guy has multiple children by multiple white women. Nothing's wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But you have the nerve to tell me about myself? Please, look in the mirror.
Yeah, I have, and this is going to be kind of a rough thing to say. I have not necessarily friends, but men I know very well who will basically say, I don't deal with sisters. I just don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at them mm-hmm. kind of like a Martian, like, are you serious? So I know what you're saying mm-hmm. is very real. I know there's always kind of moving parts and pieces to it to make things, you know, I mean, maybe he had, you know, maybe the guy had some bad experiences with sisters, but to kind of banish all black women because of, you know, well, such and such did this back when I was a kid and, you know, I had a child by this person and they, you know, she's a black woman and, you know, because of that, I don't deal with, I mean, I've heard men just say some things and I just look at them like, wow. So I do realize that is, you know, and I just, you know, to all my sisters out there, I apologize. I've had men, you know, say to me just very, very bluntly that, you know, they just do not deal with sisters. And, you know, that's very sobering. You know, it is. So, man, but yeah, that's, like I said, I just wanted to point that out because I think we kind of
put out there a lot of bad energy. Not you two ladies, of course, but we put out there a lot of bad energy and omen about black men of, you know, all they think about is sex. And I tell women, like, no, white men finesse women just as much as black men. You know, they do. So, you know, I mean, I could tell you, you know, if anybody wants to hear some stories, I could tell you. So, you know, this whole idea that black men are all just about sex and that's all they want, they don't want to take care of nothing, that's not even nowhere near true. So, yeah. So,
right.
Well, we are coming to the end of our show. We have just a couple minutes left. Any parting questions, thoughts, comments, ladies?
These topics that you have, can I throw a shout out next week? It's just totally geared around women.
Say that last part. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said next week it's all about women, okay? It's all about women. It's all about us. So I'm
Next week we're going to actually have a very polarizing topic, but we'll talk about that here in a second. I want to see if you had any more thoughts about this show.
No, I'm glad. I like Jackie. Get more females on her with the brain on the show with the brain. I can't do it by myself, Blair.
Okay.
I can't do it by myself.
Thank you, Stephanie. But
you're welcome,
I thought it was. I appreciate that. But I thought it was great. I just kind of felt like for a minute, I was like, wait a minute, is he trying to, you know, I was like, he's trying to steer me in a way that I'm not trying to go. But I totally get it. And it was very fun. And I appreciate you inviting me to be on here on your podcast. And I thought it was interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And what we tend to do, and what I know what I tend to do is I want people to think. We as blacks think we have everything all figured out, and like, you know, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing me, and you know, whatever. And what I try to help people understand is, yeah, there may have been some other parts that have happened that were unfortunate, but we don't really, and I've been guilty of this as well, we don't really understand that we have a lot more control over scenarios that we have had happen to us than we realize. We like to say, well, I met this guy, he dogged me, and this next guy dogged me, and the next guy dogged me. It's like, whoa. You know, you should be putting measures into place where you minimize that risk. You shouldn't be getting dogged by 3 and 4 men. Once you get played by 3 and 4 men, you need to go back and look in the mirror and say, you's kind of a dummy, and that's real. And that's for men, too. When you go and have women play you and whatever, you got to do that. So we got 2 minutes left. Was there any other comments, thoughts, or anything?
No, that about summed it up.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Love you both. Appreciate the show. Appreciate you being on the show. Ted, do you want to put anything else out there?
Just interesting. It would have been great to get a few more callers, but great to get a woman's perspective on sex. Those two ladies said, sex is maybe more important than what society projects it to be.
Right.
And I'll say quickly, one of the biggest challenges, and people may have a hard time, this may be a stretching thought, but the country called the United States was founded on these people called the Puritans who were kicked out of Europe, especially England, and they were very suppressive. Mm-hmm. They suppressed a lot of things, including sex. We never did a reset in the United States. All we did was build on top of that culture. So there's a lot of shame around many things, including sex. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people become promiscuous or overdo sex to sort of overcompensate and try to hide the fact that they still do have kind of that suppressive attitude towards sex. So it was good to hear women be a lot more open about it.
Right. Absolutely. Good comments. Good comments from everybody. Thank you all so much for being a part of the show. We will be back next week, and I'm not going to mention what it's about because it's going to be a big surprise. But please tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, to the Straight Talk Show with me, Blair Nash, and Ted Santos. Look forward to seeing you. Have a great week.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Bye. Have a good day. Bye-bye.